After she was released, Bobby took her home. As soon as they arrived, she stalked around the apartment, closing curtains, compulsively, shutting out the bright noon sunlight, trailing rooms of darkness. She pulled off the clothes that she had worn since leaving the courtroom and consigned them to the garbage. He lay in bed listening to her shower, in pitch darkness, for long minutes. Then she slid beneath the duvet. She was cold, shivering, in fact, her hair not quite dry. She had been showering in cold water. He didn't question that, he just held her until his warmth had permeated her. At last, she said in a whisper,
"You need to buy thicker curtains. Darkness can't hide you from a worm cam."
"I know that," she said.
"And I know that even now they are listening to every word we say. But we don't have to make it easy for them. I can't bear it. Hiram beat me, Bobby, and now he's going to destroy me."
"Just as," he thought, "Hiram destroyed me." He said,
"At least your sentence isn't custodial. At least we have each other."
She balled her fist and punched his chest hard enough to hurt.
"That's the whole point. Don't you see? You won't have me, because by the time they've finished, there won't be a me anymore. Whatever I will have become, I'll be different."
He covered her fist with his hand until he felt her fingers uncurl.
"It's just reprogramming. They said I must suffer from Syndrome E. Spasms of overactivity in my orbital frontal and medial prefrontal lobes. Excessive traffic from the cortex prevents emotions rising to my consciousness, and that's how I can commit a crime, directed at the father of my lover without conscience or remorse or self-disgust, Kate. And then I'm to be conditioned against the use of the worm cam. Convicted felons like me, you see, aren't to be allowed access to the technology. They will lay down false memory traces in my amygdala, the seat of my emotions. I'll have a phobia, unbeatable, about even considering the use of a worm cam or viewing its results."
"There's nothing to be afraid of."
She propped herself up on her elbows. Her shadowed face loomed before him, her eye sockets smooth-rimmed wells of darkness.
"How can you defend them? You, of all people."
"I'm not defending anybody. Anyhow, I don't believe there's a them. Everybody involved has just been doing her job. The FBI, the courts,
and Hiram."
He didn't try to answer. He said,
"All I want to do is hold you."
She sighed and laid her head down on his chest. It felt heavy, her cheek warm against his flesh. He hesitated.
"Anyhow, I know what the real problem is."
He could feel her frowning.
"It's me, isn't it? You don't want a switch in your head because that's what I had when you found me. You have a dread of becoming like me, like I was. On some level..."
He forced it out.
"On some level, you despise me."
She pulled herself back from him.
"All you're thinking about is yourself. But I'm the one who's about to have her brains removed by an ice cream scoop."
She got out of bed, walked out of the room, and shut the door with cold control, leaving him in darkness. He slept a while. When he woke, he went to find her. The living room was still dark, the curtains closed and lights off, but he could tell she was here.
"Lights on."
Light, garish and bright, flooded the room. Kate was sitting on a sofa, fully dressed. She was facing a table on which sat a bottle of some clear fluid, and another bottle, smaller. Barbiturates and alcohol. Both bottles were unopened, their seals intact. The liquor was an expensive absinthe. She said,
"I always did have good taste."
"Kate!" Her eyes were watering in the light, her pupils huge, making her seem childlike.
"Funny, isn't it? I must have covered a dozen suicides. More attempted. I know there are quicker ways than this. I could slit my wrists, or even my neck. I could even blow out my brains before they get screwed up. This would be slower, probably more painful, but it's easy. You see, you sip and swallow, sip and swallow."
She laughed coldly.
"You even get drunk in the process."
"You don't want to do this."
"No, you're right. I don't want to do it. Which is why I need you to help me.